We're thankful to be back in the house of the Lord again. Lord, we've come here to meet with you and to hear from your word. Words of encouragement, uplifting, strengthening, instructing. Lord, we ask God that you would now just guide us through the word, Father. Have your way in this service, Lord. We ask for you, Lord, to receive all the glory from it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 16. What I want to preach on today is love projected. Love projected. And this will be a part one, Brother Chris. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You may be seated. Last Sunday we had read about the rich young ruler and how that he came to Jesus and was asking him what he must do to inherit eternal life. And we've seen that he had kept the commandments from his youth, but yet he was lacking. But the one thing I want to draw from this morning is that the Bible says in the book of Mark that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And what that means is that Jesus actually projected love to him and told him, the one thing thou lackest, sell all thou hast and give it to the poor, and take up thy cross and come follow me. And the Bible tells us that the young man went away grieved with the same, and he left. And so we said there was, Jesus projected love to him, but there wasn't something there to reflect that love back. There was nothing there to receive that love. And the reason I bring that back up is because in the message of divine love, Brother Branham makes this statement. He says, God so loved you, his love was so great for you, till his love projected a savior for you. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. And here's the Holy Spirit here leading you. The Bible said, no man can come to me, said Jesus, except the Father draws him first. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Then what do you do? Something inside you, an immortal something, says, I'm speaking tonight, child of mine. So that's the difference between you this morning and the rich young ruler, was that was an immortal something that was down inside of your mortal body, down inside of your soul. Your soul was immortal. And when God spoke to you, then you see, there was the Father drawing you, and you heard his voice, and he said, my sheep know my voice. Now, you may never have heard his voice before that time, but there was something in you that came from eternity that recognized that voice. And so when he spoke to you, it did something to you different than what it did to your neighbor. It did something to you different than what it may have done to some of your other relatives, because it touched something on the inside of you. And when it did, that changed you. It was drawing you, and you felt, as the song says, I feel the pull. You felt the pull. And you realize that God, he speaks to call everyone. But there are people who don't feel that pull. You ought to thank God today that you felt that pull, because not everybody feels it. God's word goes out. He so loved the world. Not just that he so loved you. He so loved the entire creation. He loved every person that had ever been, every person that was ever going to be. He projected love when he died on the cross, and he dies as Savior. God gave his only begotten Son because he loved the world, but not all the world will receive him. The love was projected for everyone to have opportunity, but not everyone will make that choice. And it's because that Brother Branham said, like the woman at the well, what was the difference between her and the priest down at the temple? I know I use this example so much, but it makes it so plain. He says there was something in her to receive. She had representation in heaven, and the priest didn't. Something on the inside of you was different. That's what made you different. It wasn't your flesh that made you different. It wasn't your good works that made you different. It was what you were born with on the inside of you that came from God. It came from eternity, dropped down into a body of time and waited for God to call you in the right season. And when he called, that voice went out for all to hear. It's just like in this last day, when the voice of God screamed out, "Come out of her, my people, and be not a partaker of her sins." There were those that came out, but there were those that did not. Amen. They wanted the healing. They wanted the gifts. They wanted the miracle. But they didn't want the word. Miracles are great, but I want the word. People can experience miracles in their life and still be lost. People, I have witnessed people who have experienced healing in their lives from God and are yet living lives in a lost state today. What I want is something that's more eternal than that. I want something that gets a hold and speaks to something down in me that changes me eternally. Makes me a new creation. Hallelujah. That's why you became a new creation. There was something in you. That's why when you tried to run from it, when you tried to hide from it, no matter how far you ran or how much you tried to hide, you couldn't get away. Because you belong to God. And he said, "All the Father has given me, I have them, and I'll not lose a one." Hallelujah. You ought to thank God for that this morning. Well, Satan sure tried his best to get you lost. But Jesus said, "I'll not lose a one." Some people came the easy way, and others came the hard way, but all that belong to God will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And when you put your hand in the air, you break every law of science. And say, "Yes, Father, I raise my hand in recognition of your voice, you calling. All the Father has given me will come to me, and no man can take them from my hand. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, and shall never come into the judgment, but is passed from death into life." Now, Brother Branham says in the Message of Love, 1958, he said, "Love can only go so far." That's something that we would think, well, if it's agape love, why, it can go on and on. But he said love can only go so far. And then when love comes to its end, then sovereign grace comes and takes its place. He says, so God projected love to his creation. because his creation fell and it needed to be redeemed. And there was nothing here on earth to redeem it because the highest thing in God's creation, which was man, had fell. So everything under man fell. It changed all of creation. It changed the nature of the animals. That's why the Bible says in the millennium, in the new heaven and new earth, the lion shall lay down by the lamb, because all of nature will be set back right again. It says the beast of the wild will be led by a child, because all of nature will be set back again. But there was nothing here that could bring redemption. The only thing that hadn't fallen was God. Angels had fallen prior to the fall of man. So an angel couldn't do it. The only thing that could do it was God himself. So he projected that love for his creation. And that love for his creation was projected down, and then sovereign grace created the character of Jesus Christ to come and shed his life for us, that we would be redeemed back and have eternal life. Get to come back and partake of the tree of life. Hallelujah. When love is projected and comes to its end, sovereign grace produces what love projected. God so loved the world that his love was at the end of its going, and then love projected sovereign grace that gave us a Savior. That's how we got Jesus. It's because God loved the world. Something was produced because of his love. Jesus, the Savior, was produced. Hallelujah. The message of when divine love is projected, Brother Branham goes on, he said, he sees every move that you make. He knows all that's in you. Not even the sparrow can fall to the street without him knowing it. Not a little flower can come up, a little crocus, unless he knows about it. So how much more are you than the flower? If you are laying here sick or afflicted, do you not know that the King of Kings is watching you? Do you not know that he's interested in you? God's interested in you. He's interested in your life. He's interested in what goes on in your life. We think many times that God's not interested with the natural things of our life. But friends, he looks out for you in your natural life. I've gave you the testimony of how that I know that God had me to avoid a great accident over on Briley Parkway here back in May. That I got off of Briley Parkway on the 65 and got in a traffic jam. Said, well, and the reason I was on Briley Parkway is because the traffic was backed up on I-40 coming from the airport. And so I got on Briley Parkway, and then I thought, well, I'll get on 65 and just shoot on up that way and get back on 40 and I'll be all right. And I got in a traffic jam that way. And it was raining really hard. And people don't know how to drive in the rain. And so I thought, well, now I'll get back on Briley Parkway. And I got back on Briley Parkway and came to a dead stop. And I got on the traffic cams and looked up ahead, and from get on online on my phone and hooked into the traffic cams to see what was going on up there. And it wasn't that far up in front of me. It was enough that if I hadn't got off, I would have been right there. Now, that was God just looking out for me. He knew that accident was going to happen before it ever happened. And so he moved me in such a way that I wasn't involved. Countless of times, God looks after you when you don't even know that he is. He does things that you don't even know that he's doing for you. And God ain't like some people. God doesn't come down and stick it in your face and say, see now what I did for you? It's so subtle that if you weren't being sensitive to the Spirit, you'd miss it. He watches out over you. He watches out over your children. He watches out over your grandchildren. He watches out over your great-grandchildren. You think about, Brother Branham said that it doesn't matter if a child was born to the two most wickedest people in the city. It doesn't mean that child cannot be saved. So you think about that now for a moment. A child born to two wicked sinners, people that don't want a thing to do with God, even when presented with it. And a child born of that, man, God watch over that child, and that child maybe is seed of God, and God watches over it through all those evil years till it comes to a place to where the love of God can be projected to that child of when that child is of age, and the love of God's projected and something speaks down inside of that child and it comes to God. And God watched over it the whole time, bringing it to that very day when his love could be projected to it. Hallelujah. The Bible says that gifts and callings are without repentance. It said to Jeremiah, it said, before you were conceived in your mother's belly, I knew you and called you to be a prophet. So you think about a child being born and being born with a gift, let's say a gift of whatever it may be, a gift from God. Maybe it's a preacher. And God watches out over that child its whole life just to get it to the place to where then that child will be able to, of an age to yield to him where God can speak through it. Let that gift work. Look at the way God watched over the gift that was in Brother Branham. Said, don't ever drink or smoke or defile your body with women. And look how many times Satan threw that stuff in his face. So much that in his human flesh, look at the times that he was ready, give me that bottle, I'll show you. I ain't no sissy. And then what he said to his daddy, and his daddy was calling him, said, oh, he's different than the rest of us Branhams. Give me that bottle. All of a sudden, that world, he heard it, dropped the bottle, couldn't drink it. But his flesh would have. But God was watching over that gift because it was a special gift that God had placed there, he was born with, to bring the end time word to this age. Not just to bring healing and miracles to people. His healing ministry is over. Brother Branham's not here to perform another miracle. But the word that he brought is still going on and calling people. It's still going on and making a change in people's lives. He's interested in you. He's interested in what goes on in your life. He's interested, friends, look, he's interested in your welfare. I don't know, maybe sometime, I don't know, you know, I don't make myself to be a special person. Maybe there's some of you that's been in a situation before where you didn't have enough money to pay your bills. Where do you think it came from? How did you get from there to here? Well, I worked hard. I worked two jobs. Who gave you the strength? Do you realize there are people in their 20s in this nation that are on disability? And you were able to work your whole life. Who watched out you and made sure you could do that? There was a mining company down in West Virginia back when my grandfather was working in the mines. And this owner, he wasn't real good with investments. And the mines went broke. And it didn't matter how hard you had worked. It didn't matter what you had done. They had no money to pay you. They had no money to pay him. For all the work he had done, there was nothing to pay him, nothing to pay the men. They could get mad. Wasn't going to change it. Mad don't create money. They could have got sad, but sad don't create money. What did my grandfather have to do? He had to just trust God. That God would give him another job. And God would give him the strength to work another job. And that God would provide for his needs in the meantime. And God did. My dad, he grew up poor. I think he had two pair of pants. One pair of shoes. They saved them shoes to wear on special occasions to go to school or whatever. Who took care of him? He said his daddy would get paid on Friday and a lot of times drink up a lot of the money before he got back home. And he and his mother were serving the Lord. And they didn't have no food in the house. And they had no money to buy no food. And so they got down and they prayed. And they asked God to, they needed some food. And while they were praying, somebody came up the holler and put some bags of groceries on the porch. Said, God told me to bring these to you. Who provided? God did. We get down a few dollars where we can't buy something that we want and we complain. You get out of a little bit of work and mope about it. God's interested. He cares. You can go to him and talk to him about it. He cares. He's interested in what you've got to say. I have found that the thing to do is just go pour your heart out to him. Don't call somebody else up and complain or tell them how you're feeling. Go tell God how you're feeling. Because God's the one that can do something about it. He loves you, and God loved you. And when his love was projected, sovereign grace took its place and sent a Savior to redeem you back to himself. His love projected his feeling. God's got feeling. I'd like somebody to show me in the Word and back up that God doesn't have feelings. Because I can take you and show you to where God even had a feeling of anger. He got angry at the people of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. They were complaining. And the Bible says he got angry. And Moses got angry. And they were complaining because they didn't have any flesh to eat. God was raining manna down out of heaven. And they were taking the manna, and they were grinding the manna, and they were baking the manna, and they were eating. And every morning when the dew fell, the manna fell. And they were complaining about having bread from heaven. And they said, if we was in Egypt, we'd have meat. God said, all right, you want flesh? I'm going to give you flesh, but not for a day or two. But I'm going to give you flesh till it comes out of your nostrils. I'm going to give you flesh until it becomes loathsome to you. Paul said, I have learned that in whatsoever state I find myself, therein to be content. I am content when I'm full, Paul said. I'm content when I'm hungry. I have been learned to be abase and to have abundance. Paul said, I have learned to have abundance and also to be in need and to be content. Because God said his strength would take care of me. Through his strength, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes these electronics don't want to cooperate. There we go. I couldn't see what time it was. Now, if I'm not mistaught, and I understand correctly, I have no education, just my grammar school. But I am taught by scholars who should know that the word used giving everlasting life in the Greek is called Zoe, which means the life of God. Then God's love projected to you brings you and makes you a part of him in the new birth. Then you become a child, which is to be born of or comes from, And that puts you in a relationship with God so much that you're now sons and daughters. So God's love projected is what brings us even to the new birth. And God, the Creator, who created all things by His power through His spoken word, and everything that is the word of God made manifest. The entire world was made. And how do we err when we try to ignore God's word or try to limit God's power by our own imagination? How we err when we try to limit God's power by our own imagination. In other words, this problem is beyond me figuring out how to do it, so I don't think there's a way to solve this thing. I don't know how to get more money. I don't know how to get more jobs. Well, don't limit God by your imagination. God, look, friends, Brother Branham said when Peter and them were fishing and toiled all night and didn't catch a thing, and Jesus told them, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. What was the difference between one side and the other? I mean, I don't know how wide these boats were, but we're just talking just the width of a boat. What was the difference? The difference was, God said, cast it on this side. That was the word of God. That was Jesus saying that. So when they obeyed his word, Brother Branham said, Peter could say, there's no fish down there. He said, there didn't have to be. God could create the fish. You could look and say, I don't know how to get another job. I don't know how to get anything other. God can create it. You realize that everything in this world came into existence by the spoken word of God. All the gold of the world, the minerals, the gold, the silver, all those things came into existence by the spoken word of God. So you think God can't take care of you? He spoke those things into existence. I've had God to give me in a check form the exact amount I needed to pay a bill. Somebody walk up to me, stick something in my pocket when I was just a young man. My kids were just real little. Couldn't make the bill. They said, just shoved it in my pocket, said, God told me to give this to you. And friends, it was the exact amount down to the penny. God can be precise. He's interested. He cares. Knowing that, then what faith we should have in his word. When I first came here to pastor this church, years ago, it'd get around the time of December, and the tithing would go down every year. Around December. And every December, I'd say to my wife, I guess I need to go out and get another job. And she would just try to discourage me from it. So that went on for years. And then one year, I decided I'm going to do it. Some of y'all would probably remember. I was put in contact with an agency that served papers for people who were delinquent on their house payments. And I went around serving these papers. Drove all over. Man, I tell you what, I learned this region. I've been from here clear over to the river. All up and through there, places where people had little old tiny trailers on a little old tiny lot right by the river. I've been to places where it didn't even look like there could be anybody living up there. I've been to places where I thought, man, I could go missing up here and nobody'd ever know where I was. And I had to turn in everything, what I did, you know, show proof, sometimes pictures or whatever. And when I got my first month's pay, I had to spend it on tires because one of the places I went to, somebody had thrown a bunch of nails down in the driveway before they moved out. Roofing nails down in the driveway. When they moved out, because they was evicted out of their home, and I had to go by there and inspect that place because they weren't making their payments. So everything I made, it all went to buy the tire. And I thought, well, I've learned my lesson, Lord. I never did that again. God takes care of me. I got to a place where I don't worry about it. If you get without work, then that's going to affect me. But I can't go on worrying about that. I can't get down to the dumps about that. Excuse me. Because I got to believe that God's going to give you work. I got to believe God's going to take care of me. And he has. I've been here 23 years. And God has took care of me by the church. God's interested. We shouldn't limit him by our imagination. Brother Ram says, sovereign grace produces what love could not carry out. Oh, friends, that's what the church needs. It's not a new organization, not a bunch of fantastics, not an argument, not a debate. It needs the baptism of love to love one another. It doesn't need new gifts. It needs love to operate the gifts it's got. We need to have more love for each other. Look, as a man, I might not live up to your expectations. You might not live up to mine. But that ain't the way we should be looking at one another. We should be looking at one another in love. I've often said this. You're not going to have your private corner in heaven. Well, that fellow over there can't get along with nobody, so he just got his special little spot in heaven all by himself. It ain't going to be that way. We're going to be together. And not just for Sunday. Not just for a weekend. Not for a week. Not for a month. Not for a year. Not for 23 years. But for eternity. Isn't that going to be wonderful to not ever have to say goodbye again? You know, when Brother Roel, when I got word that he had passed away, the one thing that kept going through my mind is a phrase from a song that says, "Tears will never stain the streets of that city." We'll never have to bid another loved one or a friend goodbye. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more suffering. The economy's not based on the American dollar. There'll be no more want. There'll be no more needs. Not for us. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. No more heartaches. No more departing. Hallelujah. What we need is more love for one another. Hallelujah. Mark 11 and 24 says, "What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Brother Branham says this in Jehovah Jireh. "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." Now look, not that God had to do it, but because God did do it. When God's love was projected, sovereign grace had to produce the object that his love projected. What was the object his love projected? A savior, a plan of redemption. Now listen to this. Remember what I just read to you. "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you will love God and believe God, grace will project the object that you ask God for." Are you hearing me this morning? A lot of people say, "Well, God only gives you what you need." That ain't what this scripture says. This scripture says, "Whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them." I remember when I was just thinking of this morning. I remember when Brother Wayne and Sister Cindy lived down there and way out there in south of Fairview. And they wanted another house. They wanted to sell that place and they wanted to move. Now, the place they live in now, it came open because a couple that owned it got divorced. And so they were selling the place. Before Brother Wayne and Sister Cindy ever even knew about the place, I went out there and seen it. I walked around it. I looked through the windows. I walked all around that place, thought, "Boy, this is a pretty nice place." And then they found out about the place, and God provided a way, and they bought that place and sold out there where they had been. They asked God for that, and God gave it to them. That was their desire. And they They had desires about what they wanted to do with that place. Sister Cindy desired always to have a gazebo to go sit in. God gave it to them. I'm not picking on y'all this morning. It's just, I couldn't help these thoughts that were coming to me early this morning. God did all of that. He gave them what they desired. My wife and I, we desired to have a place of our own, and God provided a way. The salesman that was selling us that double wide we bought, he met up with my son John sometime later, and he said, I never made a dime off that sale. Because your daddy kept coming in asking for more and more. And they just kept giving it to me. They said, I was getting it financed through FHA. What is that called? First Time Homeowners Association or something like that? And they got special guidelines that you have to go by. And one of the guidelines, see, I'd went out there and I told that man with the dozer, I said, I don't want that place down here on the road. I want it up there on the hill. So we went up there and marked it. And I asked him, I said, how much more will it cost me for you to clear that place up there on the hill? He said, it'd be $3,000 more. I said, all right. So I went down to, it was Keith Baker Homes. And I went down there and I told him, I said, I'll pay that $3,000 myself. I didn't have $3,000. I said, I'll pay that $3,000 myself. They said, all right, when we go to close on the house, you bring the $3,000 cash. I said, all right, I will. And I believed God. Said, where was that money going to come from? I had no earthly idea. I just knew God was going to provide it. I'd ask him for a place out there, and he was going to give it. And when it come time to close on the house, I had the $3,000. It come in by littles, and I kept putting back until I had $3,000. When they was going to put it in, FHA said, well, now it's up on the hill, said, we got a problem. Because the driveway has got to be paved because it's that long. And it can't be above a certain, I can't even remember now what the grade was, because that's an 18% grade that I live on. But I think it couldn't be above 10% grade or something like that. And so I went out there to talk to the dozer driver, and I said, do you think that we can start down here and cut this way? Now, I ain't no dozer driver. I don't know nothing about this stuff. But I said, do you think we can cut this way and then cut this way and then cut this way and keep it down below that grade and get up that hill? He said, well, we'll try it. So I went out there with him, and I don't even know what I was doing. I held this big old stick. It had measurements on it, and he looked through this some kind of like a little scope thing. And he knew what he was doing. I didn't have a clue. I was just holding the stick. And he cut that driveway in to keep it below that certain grade level, whatever it was, so we could get up that hill. And they said, now it's got to be paved. And I said, well, I went and talked to Keith Baker Homes. He said, well, what are we going to do? And so we decide, well, would they accept chip and seal? You know, where they, y'all know what that is. Pour tar down, and pour that chip gravel on top of it and pack it down, roll it down. That. So said, yeah. I said, well, it's going to cost $5,500 to do it up that hill. I did not pay for that. Keith Baker Homes did. That's why that guy said he didn't make no money. But when they came out there to do it, now y'all, it's all been out to our place and seen we got a great big parking area up there that I had cut in, because once you get up that hill, you got to have some way to turn around to get back down it. So I had a big, great big parking area cut in. Well, I went and told them, I said, when they was done, I said, hey, what will it cost me for you to chip and seal the rest of that parking area up there? And I don't even remember what it was. Now, it was, I don't know if it was $1,000 or a couple thousand. I don't even remember now. But they told me the amount. And I couldn't walk back up the drive because they was already working on it. So I had to walk back up. I had to walk through the woods to get up and down there. And I had briars sticking to me and everything else, and tearing my flesh on thorns, you know. But I said, I'll be right back. And I went up the hill, and I wrote that guy out a check. Like you've heard people say, if that one bounces, I'll write you out another one just like it. I wrote that guy out a check. I did not have the money in the bank to cover that check. But I wasn't trying to be bad. I was trusting God the money was going to be in the bank to cover that check. Now, this was on a Thursday night. A Thursday. And I had to go preach Thursday night here to church. There usually ain't no tithing that comes in on Thursday nights. But somebody who was going to church then had got some kind of a settlement. And so they brought their tithing and gave it in that night on a Thursday night. And Friday morning I went and made a deposit into the bank to cover that check. God cares. He's interested. Don't limit him by your imagination. Trust God. Whatsoever you desire, when you ask him, believe that you'll receive it and ye shall have it. When you will love God and believe God, God's grace will project the object that you ask God for. It's that simple. You think God don't care about if you're feeling down? He does. He does. You think God don't care whether you're feeling grief? He does. He wanted to be able to feel everything that you feel. So his love projected and grace produced a Savior to come down and thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but come down and be like man so that he can experience what you experience. So that when you come to him and you're and with something that you want or something you need or whatever, God understands. God could give you so much work that you'd get sick of it. Be careful what you say, though. Because God will test you. When I was getting out of the service, I remember standing at a window there in Germany, and I told my wife, I said, if God, I'm going to serve God. And I said, I don't care if I ain't got two dimes to rub together. Been there. Be careful what you say. God will try you. He'll test you. You're Abraham's seed. I'm going to have to close. You're Abraham's seed. When you love God, and when you love God, so loved him that you believe his word and accepted his word, then sovereign grace will come down and project what you ask God for, because he can't keep from it. That's the basis that it's on. It's love. And love will project grace. And grace will project the object that you're asking for. You can't get it by emotions. You can't get it by scholarship. You'll never get it by education. You'll never get it by sensations. You get it by love. You believe him and take his word for it. And when you take his word, that makes him love you, and you get what you ask for. Let's stand. I'm just going to stop. I knew it was going to be a part one. I thought I'd get all the part one in, though. I realize I've reached a place where if I try to get something else in, it's going to carry us too much longer. So I have to stop now. Amen. You love the Lord this morning. I ask you to continue to pray for the Soriano family. Her name's Cynthia, Sister Soriano. Her name is Cynthia, and then she has a daughter named Paula, and then she has a daughter named India. And that was the two children her and Brother Roel had, and for the church there. They had a memorial service, two of them, because they're only allowed so many people at a gathering. So they had two memorial services, Thursday evening and Friday evening. And they had asked, I didn't understand when she sent me a message. I thought she was wanting me to send her a video of Brother Roel, something I had. And that wasn't what she wanted. She wanted me to make a video of me saying something as a tribute to Brother Roel. And they were going to put all these video clips from his friends together and play the video at his memorial. So when she told me the other day why, I sat down and made a little video and had it sent to her. And they had the memorial service. And I guess they had their things that they all said about Brother Roel. And but she desires your prayer. She says that just even going to church is hard, because when she gets there, she sees everything that Brother Roel had done. And, you know, so just remember her and her daughters in prayer and the church there. It's called Overcomer Worship Center is what his church was called. And, you know, just remember them and remember the brothers there. There's now somebody else has got to step up. And the work's got to go on. Remember Sister Doris in your prayers. For losing Brother Leo. And she had told me she wants to try to live out there where they'd live. She didn't know whether she was going to be able to or not, but she was going to try. And so just remember her in prayer and the family. And remember one another in prayer. I got more to say about loving one another. So just hang on to that thought throughout this week. And amen. Pray that God will just lay more of this on me. I know there's a lot more here than what I even brought up here with me. And so we want to grow in the Lord, don't we? We want to grow in the Lord, and we want to be ready when he comes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for your divine presence. We thank you, Lord, for coming and speaking to us, Lord. Lord, Father, if we can just take from this service the things, Lord, that you brought to our attention, how much a difference it'll make in our walk this coming week. It'll make a difference in how we look at things and how we think. Lord, we pray for the Soriano family. that you, God, will comfort them and be with them and the church there, Father, in Manila and the other surrounding churches and brothers and sisters of the Philippines. Lord, not knowing, Lord, who all will have to step up and try to fill those shoes now, but Lord, I ask that you will anoint them and lead them, God. Lord, I ask for Sister Doris, God, that you'll comfort her. Lord, that you will, Father, give her, Father, a comfort and assurance, Lord, that she needs. Watch out over her, dear God. I pray, Lord God, for the believers here. Lord, you know the needs of your people. And I pray, Lord, that you will just provide their, what they have need of. You know the desires of your people. And according to what your word says, you'll provide what they desire if they'll just believe when they ask you for it. Lord, we love you. Then grace projects what we ask you for. Lord, now we ask your blessings to go with the people, Lord, today as they go their separate ways to their fellowships and so on. Lord, I ask that you'll keep them throughout this week. Bring us back again, Lord, at the appointed time. We ask in Jesus' name, to the glory of God. Amen.